right. Well, good morning. My name's Joel, and I get to be the lead pastor here, and I love to get to do that. Today's really hard for me to do. I'm sick in my stomach, but I'm sick and I'm excited at the same time, and I don't really know how to put that into words. Maybe after 30 minutes, you'll understand where I'm coming from. Today's just different. It's just weightier. It's heavier. If you want to be entertained, this wasn't the Sunday to come. I want to have a heart to heart with you. I don't want to be sad, but I want to be serious. And I just want to spend a few minutes just talking about a few things that Jesus said that are overlooked, misunderstood, and I want to present them to you today as the truth. And I just want to have a heart to heart, and I'm going to talk to you. I want to talk to you like I'm going to talk to my kids one day. And it's out of a deep love and a serious concern for you that I just... Okay, you get it. There's going to be three responses, I think, to this morning. I think the first one's going to be, there's going to be some of you that are secure, and you're going to be thankful, and you're going to be hopeful, and today's going to be, it's going to be a victory lap for you. You're going to be excited. And I think for a lot of people, probably most people, I think that you will leave today convicted, uncertain. You'll have some questions, and there's going to need to be some serious life evaluation for you. The third group of people is those that will deny what I will say today. And for the first group, for those of you that are going to feel secure, I want you to know that I'm thankful for you. For the second group, for those of you that are just going to leave today a little bit uncertain and questioning some things, I want you to know that I'm praying for you. And for the third group, those of you that will deny, I am praying for you. I have prayed for you all week that God would just help you understand what he really is doing. And today, it's just weightier. For those of you that deny, if you don't like me, I've just totally resigned to that. I'm fine with it. I'm just trying to be faithful to what Jesus said. I'm going to stick a little closer to my notes today than I typically do because I just don't want to mess this up. And I want to make sure that I just really clearly articulate what Jesus is saying. And I'm not telling you this so that you will love me. I'm doing it because I love you, and you need to hear it. This is a message. You guys, when Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, it's three chapters in the first book of the New Testament called Matthew. When he said these things, it wasn't a pat on the back. You're doing well, guys. That's not what Jesus was doing. Jesus was saying, this is the truth. Can anybody take this? Are you willing for it to cost you everything? It's going to be worth it, but are you willing to pay the price to follow me? It's not going to be a walk in the park. And that's kind of what I want to share with you today. And I'm hopeful that you will just take on, maybe you'll just forget what I'm saying and you'll just listen to what Jesus is saying. And you might just do a real serious evaluation of where you're at in your walk with the Lord. You know, everybody that was listening to Jesus at the time when he said these things, they all thought they were Christians. They all thought they followed God. And then Jesus brought this other stuff to the surface and they began to go, well, maybe we haven't then. And so if there's anybody in here who you think you've been following God for a long time, you prayed a prayer when you were a kid and you've just been going down, you kind of consider yourself, you classify yourself as a Christian, this is a message for you. Like, this is a message from Jesus for every single person in the room, okay? It doesn't matter if you've been following Christ in your opinion since the day you were born. This is a message for every person in the room. I've got some serious questions for all of us to ask. I'm going to talk to you like I'm going to talk to Cooper and Judah when they get older. And I'm going to be, this is a heart-to-heart kind of with my church family. If you're new today, welcome. I guess I'll tell more jokes other weeks if that's your thing. Today, I'm just gonna, I'm going to speak the truth, and it may not be as funny as you would like it to be, but I think if today lands like I've prayed it would, it could be the greatest day of many of our lives. Even those that we've been following Christ for a while, it could be the greatest day of your life. And I've carefully thought about saying that, and I mean it with all of my heart, that this could be a big day. So let me pray. I'm going to walk through some of what Jesus said towards the end of his Sermon on the Mount. We're in week 8 of 9, and I'm excited. And, you know, I think one of the reasons why this is so, it's so weighty for me, it's because I have good friends, best friends, groomsmen in my wedding, best friends, who claim Christ and who I just have a serious concern about them. And I love them. Oh, I love them. And I just care deeply for them. But I have concerns for them because I look at their lives and it doesn't line up with what Jesus is asking us to do. And so spend 25 minutes with me this morning. There's no chance you can regret it. Let me just pray and we'll dive in. Father, I sound like a broken record, but I'm just praying for the folks in this room. Thanks for kind of working on my heart in the process. I pray if there's anybody in here, God, who this is going to raise some questions and kind of the blood pressure is going to go up and people in here aren't going to be breathing easy. I pray, God, that you would help them to make decisions for you, that they wouldn't just kind of say, oh, another Sunday, but that this would be a significant day for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so a couple years ago, I started a new job. I was working at a camp down in Branson, Missouri, and I loved working at this camp. I was so excited. It had been my dream job for like a decade at the time, and I just thought, man, this I have finally arrived, and I'm going to prove to this company that I have been the missing piece. I mean, I am really the real deal. And so one of the things that we have to do, that we get to do at this job, was we would go on this thing called trail. You would hop into a van with a group of people, and you would go city to city to city, college to college to college, interviewing people along the way. And so you would stay in hotels, and we got kind of a stipend for meals. And this is kind of the whole fall season, September, October, November, December. You're just traveling. And I think it was maybe my third trail, I got to be what's called the trail boss. And the trail boss is the person who's, they're in charge of, you know, getting the van ready and getting all the supplies and booking the hotels. And you're just kind of in charge of the team as you go around on trail. And my administrative assistant, her name is Jane. She is a superstar at this stuff. She's like, Joel, do you need me to help you book the hotels? I'm like, Jane, I know how to use the internet. You know, I got this. And so I would go on and I'd just book all my hotels. Joel, are you sure you don't need some help? Jane, I got this. I'm the missing piece of this company. You're going to love working with me. And so I book all the hotels and we're about to set off on this journey. And so you typically would leave on a Sunday morning and then you'd get back on a Friday night. So Sunday morning, bright and early, we're driving all the way to Tennessee that day. Morgan and I get in the van, and on this trip, for whatever reason, there were just three of us. So it was me, Morgan, and there was a girl named Chantel that was supposed to join us. And at 6 a.m., we kind of pull up to their house, and we anticipate she'll walk out with her suitcase, load up, and we're going to drive to Tennessee, and she's not there. She's nowhere to be found. We're knocking on the door. There's dogs barking. We're honking the horn. We're like, we got to go. We got to get there in time. What are we going to do? So finally, through calling a person who called a person who called a person, we got a hold. I called her husband, and I said, hey, this is Joel, and he said, hey, man. You know, I clearly had woken him up, and I said, is Chantel coming? And he said, dude, we're in Houston. And I'm like, you're in Houston? He's like, yeah, we thought it left tomorrow. And so I'm like, well, I guess Morgan and I are going on a road trip by ourselves. So we get in the van, and we start driving to Tennessee. And in my mind, I'm thinking, how do you mess up the day? I mean, how could you possibly be so dumb to mess up the day we were leaving? So Morgan and I go, and we do our show that night. And then we go to check into our hotel. And I said, hey, the name's Joel Traynor. And she said, how do you spell that? And, you know, T-R-A-I-N-E-R. And she said, seems like you're not in the system. I said, well, wait a second. I'm so responsible. I printed off all of my confirmation sheets, emails. So I pull out my folder and lay them up. And I just start saying, there it is right there. And she says, that's for last Sunday. And I looked at all of them. And I booked 5 hotels in a row for the week prior. So here I am, the new arrival at the company, like moments from being fired, from wasting all this money. And it was just this kind of like, oh my gosh, I just screwed everything up. And so I spent all week trying to figure out like places to stay and trying to get refunds. And it was this like, you know, and when you're new at a company, this is like a big, you know, deal. And at the, you know, looking back on it, it's like a couple $100, whatever, but it was a big deal. And so I tell you that story, and I it's embarrassing, and I find it to be a little bit funny. And the reason I tell you the story is I want you to imagine what it would be like to walk up and say your name. And maybe you've had this experience where you say your name and they try to look up your reservation or look up your ticket that you're signed up for, and your name's not there. Your name's not on the list. And I just told you a story about a $67 hotel room, and I want you to imagine that, and you were like, ooh, you know, that would be, that's a lot of money. I want you to just, I want to tell you something that happens in the Bible that's a very similar experience in one regard and far greater in another. It's that multiple times in the New Testament, it says that when either Jesus comes back or when we die, that there's going to be this point coming up in the future where Jesus Christ will open up something that is called the Book of Life. And maybe you've heard of the Book of Life before. You've seen a movie called the Book of Life. Let me just make sure that we're on the same page about what this is. There is a book. It's called the Book of Life. And in order to get your name into the Book of Life, here's what you have to do. You have to put your faith in Jesus Christ, that he died and rose again, and that through your faith in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven. Everything that you have done in your past that was wrong is wiped clean, and your name gets written down in the Book of Life. And one day there will be this thing called Judgment Day, and we will open it up, and the names of people who believed in Jesus Christ will be in there, and those who did not, their names will not be in there. And those whose names are in there will go into heaven and enter eternal paradise with God. That's what the Bible tells us will happen. And there's one more piece to it, though. There's one more piece that I need you to understand. This part of it is that in order to get your name in the Book of Life, not only do you receive salvation and the forgiveness of your sins, but it significantly changes the way that you live your life. It significantly changes the way that you live your life, because it's impossible. It's impossible to be the way that you were after experiencing Christ in your life. It's impossible. If you remain the way that you were, I say, I don't know that you really had an experience with Christ. I don't know that you fully understand what he did. And you guys, what I'm going to show you this morning explains that less people's names are written in the Book of Life than you think. There are far fewer names in that book than you think. And you might respond to the thing that I said where, you know, not only is it faith in Christ, but it significantly changes the way that you live your life. You know, there might be this sliver in you that goes, well, Joel, are you saying that like salvation is this works-based thing? Like I gotta do enough stuff to earn my salvation? I'm saying, no, not at all. You didn't hear me correctly. I said, having an encounter with Christ, it's impossible to remain the same. It's impossible to remain in sin. It's impossible to do things that don't honor God on a consistent basis after having an encounter with God. And so I'm not saying that you have to do anything to earn your salvation. What I am saying is that if you have true salvation in God, it will change the way that you live your life. It's, you don't have to do actions. Like, you know, you say you, you know, James talks about it, and I don't want to get into that and go off on a tangent, but essentially, to have your name written in the Book of Life is to believe on Jesus Christ and what he did, period. And that will transfer over into your life and help you to make decisions that would honor God. And if you're not, listen, if you're not making decisions, if your life does not look any different than somebody who doesn't follow God, I'm not questioning your actions. I'm just questioning whether or not you really believe what Jesus did. I'm going back to the core root and I'm saying, hey, what Jesus did for you, do you fully get that? Because if you fully get that, it will change the way that you live your life. And so Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, says some really hard things. He said some hard things. In fact, I know somebody this week who has been following Jesus for a long time. These four verses were read to her, and she said, wait a second, those are in there? And I'm just telling you that some of you may have that experience where you go, wait, Jesus said what? And I'm just telling you, this is what he said. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 7. That'll prove that it's in there. You won't just see that it's on a screen. And I put it up there. If you go to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to be in verse 13. And then we're going to skip down to verse 21. And I'm just going to read, I think it's 4 or 5 verses today. Matthew 7, chapter 13. In case you don't have a Bible, we are going to put the words on the screen. But I promise you it's in there. This is what it says. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only a few ever find it. Fewer people than you think have their names written down in the book. I'm just telling you, that's what it's saying. Few find it. The road is difficult and the way is narrow. Most people aren't on it. The other way, the way to hell, is broad. A bunch of people are on it. The road to heaven, to get your name in the book of life, it is narrow. We just need to be on the same page about that just for a second. You know, maybe you've heard me say that, the best life possible is one in fierce pursuit of Jesus. I've said that a number of times up here, and I believe it to be true, but I want you to know that I chose those words very specifically. I believe that the best life possible is one in fierce pursuit of Jesus. I don't believe that the easiest life possible is in fierce pursuit of Jesus. I don't believe the most comfortable life is in fierce pursuit of Jesus. I don't believe the most pleasurable life is in fierce pursuit of Jesus. I said the best life, and there's a whole nother layer of fulfillment and peace that you will get to if you follow Christ. But getting to that point, the way is hard. The path is hard. It is tough to follow Christ in this world. It is tough because I don't get to do everything that I want to do. Everything that my flesh cries out, do it. I don't get to do it. I don't get to experience every thrill and every pleasure that this world is offering me. I don't get to do it. My call in following Christ is to try to be set apart and to be holy. And that is tough. It is inconvenient. It is expensive sometimes. It is awkward because so many people don't do it. My call is to be righteous, and that is hard. My call is to listen to God's word and hold on to it no matter what. And that is not easy. It is tough. The road is narrow. The way is hard. It's not a walk in the park. I had one of the toughest weeks of my life this week because I follow Christ and hold on to this with all of my heart. I'm just saying it's not easy. As a Christ follower, you've got to learn how to take a hit. You've got to be willing to be different. You've got to be willing to be made fun of. It's not easy to follow Christ. Here's my concern. I'm sticking close to this because I just want to make sure I get this right today. The Bible warns me specifically as the teacher that I will be judged more strictly. And so I'm just trying to stick as close to this as I can today as I've prayed through this. You guys, I have serious concerns for people in this room who want the salvation that Jesus offers but are not willing to make any changes that he asks you to make. I have a concern for people in here. I have a concern that people in here are not willing to pay the price and to take a hit and to be different and to do something that's not popular. I have a concern that people in here want the salvation of Jesus Christ, but they don't want the changes that come along with it. I have a concern that there are people in here that have prayed a prayer when they were a kid, or they, you know, their parents brought them to church or their grandparents brought them to church, but now there is significant sin in their life and they are willing to overlook it and justify it and still think their name is written down. I have serious concerns because, you guys, in the book of 1 John, John hits this head on. He says this, 1 John chapter 4, you don't need to turn there, I'm going to throw it up there. I promise you it's in the Bible. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. I can't interpret my way out of that one, guys. I can't do it. If you say you know God, but you don't follow God's commandments, there's no truth in you. Your name isn't in the book. I'm just telling you. Fewer people than you think have their names in the book because the gate is narrow. The path is hard. It is not easy. Those that want the salvation of Christ but want to make no decisions for Christ, your name's not in the book. I'm just telling you. According to what Jesus is saying. If you think that's intense, let me read you three more verses. I think the intensity is going to crank up even more. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, these are the verses that might even surprise you that they're in the Bible. It says this. This is Jesus speaking to a bunch of people that think they're Christians. Not everybody who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. You guys see, people that think they're going to heaven, people that think that their names are in the book, there's a bunch of people, their names aren't in there. There's people who Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. People that think they're Christians. You guys, on judgment day, we all, every person on the planet is going to be held accountable to what they believed and how they lived their life, whether they lived it for themselves or they lived it for God. And anybody whose name is not written in the book of life will be thrown into the lake of fire. That's what it says in Revelation chapter 19. That is the destiny of people who don't put their faith in Christ. I'm not trying to make anybody sad. I'm just trying to be very serious about this. I can't get to the end. Like, what if we're all, a bunch of us are in heaven, and, you know, you realize that this actually all played out as it says that it will play out. I don't want anybody to come up to me and say, Joel, you should have been more serious about that. That's a big deal. Like, I want to be so serious about this because I believe eternity hangs in the balance here. If I'm going to take this whole thing as the truth, eternity hangs in the balance. People are going to come up to Jesus on judgment day. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, listen to what I did for you. And Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. But God, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We did many miracles in your name. We asked you into our hearts at VBS. We went to church most of the time. We joined a community group. We did the things that we thought Christians were supposed to do. And some of us are going to hear, I never knew you. You didn't wholeheartedly embrace everything that I was asking you to do. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm just asking, don't you wish this was different? Because if you do, I'm with you. I'm totally with you that I wish that this was different. I wish I could be a universalist that believes that at some point everybody's going to heaven, but that's not what we see in the Bible. I sincerely wish that it could be different, but it's not. And I gotta say this, like there are people in this room that I have genuine concern for, and I'm obviously not gonna say your names right now publicly, but I will tell you this, I will love you enough that if you are sitting there today and we have a relationship, we have a friendship, and you're going, am I in the middle category? Should I have some questions? And you want to know my honest opinion. I'm not the judge, okay? Listen, I'm not the judge. Praise God, I'm not the judge. But I will give you my honest feedback of going, hey, I think, you know, your life is you are pursuing Christ. You are getting rid of sin in your life. You're not overlooking it. You're not justifying it. You're doing whatever it takes to eliminate that from your life. And I see fruit in your life. And I will say that to you if I see that. And if I don't, I will tell you. I will love you and honor you enough to tell you the truth. But it's going to require you coming to me and just saying, hey, where do you feel like I'm at? And I just kind of leave that at that. Let me ask you this question as I kind of try to land the plane. How do we know for sure if we're in? You know, how do you know for sure? What's the qualification to just know for sure, to walk out of here with a peace in our heart to be go, I know my name's in that book. How do we know? Let me just tell you exactly what it says. I already read it. I'll read it again. In verse 20, it says, only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Only those that do the will of my Father will enter. Well, isn't that the question we're all asking all the time? What is God's will for my life? I mean, who hasn't asked that question? What is God's will for my life? Well, spoiler alert, it has nothing to do with your job. It has nothing to do with your house. It has nothing to do with who you marry. I'm going to tell you what God's will for your life is because the Bible tells us what God's will for our lives are. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, it is so explicitly clear. It says, God's will is for you to be holy. It is God's will for you to be holy. That's how you know for sure. When you put your faith in Christ and he forgives your sins, you go, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to follow him with my life. What that looks like is that you would be holy. There's a Christianese word that we use sometimes. It's called sanctified. It's this process of becoming different over the course of your life where you go, I'm not just going to live how I was. I'm going to try to pursue the character of Christ, the holiness. You guys, this is what it means. It means to be set apart and different from the people that you work with, different from the people maybe that are in your home, different from your neighbors, different from people who don't follow Christ. This is what it looks like to follow Christ and to be holy. It's to say, hey, on Friday nights, I don't do what everybody else does. I don't use my birthday as an excuse to do what everybody else does. I don't watch the shows that everybody else watches. I don't listen to the music that everybody else listens to. I'm not talking about your actions. I'm not trying to give you a Christian to-do list. I'm saying a person who understands what Jesus did looks at what I'm talking about as something that is appealing, that you're drawn to, that you go, I want that. A person who is following Christ and pursuing holiness is going, I'm not going to gather all this money for myself and just use it on myself. I'm going to try to give it away. I'm trying to be a generous person. I'm going to be more kind. I'm going to try to live out selflessness. And I'm going to be different than the people that I'm around. You guys, this is what it means to follow Christ. Means that you don't get to do all the things that you want to do. Seriously, that's what it means. It means that you don't get to do all the things that you want to do, that you don't indulge yourself in the pleasures of this world and the thrills that are out there because you're more committed to holiness than you are to fun and being accepted and YOLO, or what is it? Is it YOLO? You get what I'm saying. You're more committed to holiness and righteousness. You guys, it is God's will that you would be holy. Only those that do the will of the Father in heaven will enter. You guys, as a Christian, listen, you don't got to be perfect. That's why Jesus came to begin with. You don't got to be perfect. None of us are. You can be tempted. You can struggle. You can fail miserably. I have. You have. You can struggle, but you go, I hate it. That's the attitude of somebody who follows Jesus. I hate it. I don't want it in my life. It's poison in my life. I hate it. I will do whatever it takes to get rid of it. You guys, every one of us, at some point, we kind of veer off of this narrow path. Our flesh and our nature wants to take us over to the broad path. It's wide open. Just everybody run down. But you guys, what happens is when a Christian does that, God rescues them, pulls them back, draws them in, and we go, oh, I accept that. I believe that is conviction. I'm actually willing to change because I want to be on the narrow path. That's the life of a Christian. It's not that you can't veer because you will veer. It's that as soon as you realize you're veering, you go, I don't want that. I want back in. I want back on the path, even though it's tough, even though it's narrow. This is what I believe. It's worth it. It's going to cost me everything, but it's worth it. It's worth it. You guys, heaven, listen, heaven is so much better than you think it is. It's unimaginably better than you think it is. This thing says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive the things that I have planned for my kids. That's what God talking to us. We can't even get it. Your human brain can't understand how good it is to follow God at the end. I'm just telling you. I have to tell you one more thing. You come in here, you sing some songs, you hear a passage like this, it's tough, but I believe that God could be speaking to you guys right now. And I'm not trying to guilt anybody today, but I am trying to create a space where God can speak to you and you can respond. It really has nothing to do with me. I told you from the beginning, I'm not interested in being liked today. I would have told like a story about the prodigal son or something if I wanted you to like me. I'm here to tell you what Jesus said today. If you come in here and you go, man, you know what? That hit me. It hit me. Those words were surprising. I looking back on my life and I'm like, okay, there needs to be some change. And you go from here and you make changes. And you go, I'm going to be more committed to holiness. I'm going to be more committed to righteousness no matter what. There's a couple things that I'm going to do. It's going to cost me some money. It's going to cost me some friends. It might cost me my job. But you know what? I'm going to do it. And I'm not, when people invite me out again, I'm just going to say, no, it's not what I'm doing anymore. When people say, hey, let's watch the show we've been watching. You go, I'm sorry. Like I'm out of that group. I'm not going to put that in front of my eyes. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to spend the money in the places that I was spending my money. I'm going to be different. I'm going to be set apart. I'm going to be holy. My life is going to look different. I just need you to understand this, that no one is going to clap for you. No one's going to throw you a parade. No one's going to celebrate you. Do you think that your boss or your friends or your neighbors or maybe even people in your home, do you think that they're going to be proud of you? You think they're even going to care? They're going to be annoyed with you. They're going to think that you're on some high horse for a little while and you're going to fall back off soon. You just need to know that. That it's narrow, that it's tough, that it's not easy. There will be people that celebrate with you in small pockets here and there, but the overwhelming majority will say, oh, cool. It's tough, and it's worth it, you guys. It's worth it. It's worth it. I have two questions to end. Here we go. I guess my first question is, are you breathing easy or are you breathing a little bit? Like, are you in a place where you're going, man, I feel like this was for me. Listen, if you're breathing easy and you're just like, man, I understand that. I'm already committed and I know there's some stuff in my life, but honestly, I really am doing everything I can right now to live the way that Christ wants me to live. You don't need to feel guilty today. You need to walk out here and be so thankful for what God has done for you and where you're at on that path to God. But if you're in this, I think most of us, in this category, you go, man, I do need to do some just refocusing. I need to reevaluate. I need to see, like, is there anything that is unholy and ungodly and worldly that I'm intaking or outputting? You guys, I just want to, this may sound like I'm making too big of a deal about this, but I want to ask you to recommit your life to Christ today. I want to ask you to sincerely pray a prayer where you recommit your life to Christ today. Because I told you about the book of life, and I told you there will be people who get there that go, hey, my name's so-and-so, and they're going to say, I never knew you. That's what the Bible says is going to happen. And I just want all of us to be sure. Don't you want to be sure? As a kid, when I accepted Jesus into my heart, I did it like 1,000 times because I wanted to be sure. Like, I remember doing it the first time, but I did it like the next week again because I wanted to be sure, Jesus, just to make sure, I totally believe in you. We just did it so many times, and then you get into your 20s and you just become, well, I already did that when I was younger. I'm saying, hey, one of the greatest things you could do is to recommit your life to Christ and say, even though the path is narrow, even though it's hard, even though nobody's going to clap for me, I'm in, I believe it's worth it. And I just want to ask you if you'd recommit your life to Christ today. And if you're in here and you've never done that, a lot of this was tough. Let me just flip it can you just give me a minute to tell you how good this is? Listen, when God originally created the world, he created Adam and Eve. They were perfect. They were designed to live forever. They were designed to live in a relationship with God. It was perfect. And Adam and Eve sinned. They screwed it up and they separated themselves and the rest of mankind from God. God is so perfect and holy that sin can't be in the presence of God. And so if the story stops there, we're all screwed because we've all messed up and we're all separated from God, but it doesn't. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, who is God the Son, the fullness of deity in bodily form. And Jesus Christ, listen, he died on the cross, rose again, ascended into heaven. And the Bible says that if you believe in him and you believe in what he did, that your name gets written down in the book of life and your sins are forgiven. And one day you will spend forever with Jesus. You guys, this is good news. It's good news. I know I'm serious and everybody's, you know, thinking about this, but I want to make sure you understand this is good news. It is good news that you were in here today. It is good news. You have the ability to respond to what God is saying, and it's good news. And so listen, if you've never done that before, if you've never put your faith in Christ, I got to tell you, it's not going to be easy. It's tough. The road is narrow. The way is hard. It's not a walk in the park, but it's worth it. And there's some people in here that want to walk on that path with you. And I want to ask you, I want to give you the opportunity too, to put your faith in Christ for the first time and say, I'm going to commit to living a different life. So I don't know where you're at. I don't know what hit you the most. I just tried to tell you what God said. And I think it was a very important message. I'm kind of happy I don't have to do it again for a while like this, because this was heavy. This was heavy. I've been thinking about it all, more than a week. I've been thinking about it for a long time. It was heavy. And I'm hopeful that you have the humility to respond, because listen, heaven is not full of perfect people. It's full of humble people who knew they needed help. It's full of people that messed up and God forgave them anyways. You put your faith in Christ, you commit to holiness, your name's in the book. It's better than you can imagine. This is the good news of the gospel. And this is what Jesus said to a bunch of Christians 2,000 years ago. They responded, a lot of them did. And I hope you do too. So what we're gonna do, we are gonna sing one more song. Before we do that, James is gonna play some music. And if you're on the prayer team, if you would just kind of come up by these black curtains, and these black curtains, we just wanna be available to pray with you. If you wanna make either of those prayers, if you wanna pray to recommit your life to Christ, if you wanna pray to receive Christ for the first time, if you just wanna go to somebody and say, hey, I'm struggling, I feel uncertain, and you just want somebody to pray for you, these people are here. And you know, I kinda said a couple of weeks ago, and I've been so encouraged by how many people are getting up and going to pray, because getting up and going to pray is not a sign that you are sick or in trouble or the worst sinner. It's a sign that you understand who you are. The healthiest people in the room get up and they go and pray with somebody. And I hope that you guys take that opportunity. Let me pray and I'll invite you forward. Father, I just pray that I was so true to what you said in the Bible today. I pray if there's anybody in here whose name isn't in the book, that they'd have the courage to respond, that they'd pay the price of it being hard. Father, I pray for Cooper, and I pray for Judah, and I pray, God, that one day they would know you, that they would know you, that they would follow you, that they would live their lives for you. I pray when it gets hard that they would stay the course, that they would stay on the path. I pray that you would help Morgan and I to lead them to know you, God. And I pray one day that they would accept what you have done and they would live their lives for you. Their names would be written down. In Jesus' name, amen.